Hey, it's Chris from the Classic Metal Show. Just wanted to make sure you never, ever lose the CMS to the corporate entities of the world taking us down. Subscribe to our podcast by following our feed, https://j.mp/CMS feed. j.mp/CMS feed. Just plug that into your podcast player and you'll never lose us. It's uncensored and it's controlled by us, not any main tech giant. So do it today, fucks. It is another edition of Aftershocks right here on AftershocksTV.com. And with us today, one of my favorite singers of one of my favorite bands. The band is Blackstone Cherry. They have a brand new CD called The Human Condition, which I strongly suggest everybody gets because it is an ass kicker. And joining us right now is the vocalist of that band, Mr. Chris Robertson. Chris, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, brother. How you doing?
I'm great, man. It's always great every 18 months, 2 years, whatever it is, to get a new dose of Blackstone Cherry, man. Seven albums in, as if not disappointed, man. It's been a great run for you.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy to think we've been doing this long. Sorry about my voice, man. We filmed a show the other day for the Live from the Sky broadcast.
Sure.
And I'm recovering from that. While recovering from that, I'm doing about 5 hours worth of interviews a day. So, I'm a little worse for wear, but we're doing good, man. You know, excited for the record to be this close to being out. And, just excited to see what people think about it.
No question, man. Well, dude, talk a little bit about the creation of this record from – I'm judging this from the press release, so you and I both know how that can be, you know, real or not. It really made it sound like you guys almost felt like you needed to re-find the rock again, which I don't get, but that's what the press release kind of said. Is that accurate?
I think we've always rocked.
I do too. Go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, you know, people take things that people say and move them around. But, you know, for us, like, we hadn't been in that, you know, modern rock scene for a while. And we did want to kind of get back into that. But more importantly, we just wanted to make a record that kicked ass, man, that, you know, like, that we could put on and be proud of for years to come.
No question. And you've certainly done that, man. And
thank you.
At the same time, I think for you personally, you really tackled a lot of demons. Not that you haven't before, but it really seemed like you went very introspective to yourself. And you've been pretty public about talking about, you know, your personal fight with depression and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I found it interesting how much you put into songs. And I'll tell you why. You know, a lot of times the big thing with depression is people will hide it. They'll try to hide it. Right. And they always try to hide it in the wrong ways. They try to hide it with booze. They try to hide it with habits or whatever, instead of just talking about it. You, on the other hand, you took it. You wrote several. It seems like you wrote several songs about it on this record. So talk a little bit about that. Not necessarily the fight with depression, but the willingness to be so public about it and really put yourself out there like that.
Man, when I got to the lowest point I'd ever been, I was ready to no longer exist. You know, I got there and was on my way to do it, and God stopped me, man. It's the only thing I can chalk it up to, you know. And for me, ever since I've been able to somewhat maintain, you know, a balance of my manic depression, right? Like, ever since I've been able to kind of level that out, I've always wanted to be open and honest about it, because there's such a horrible stigma, especially around men and mental health. Toughen up, dude. You know, you're fine. You'll get over it. Shit happens. It'll be fine. Yeah, it does, but it also doesn't always work that way. I can tell you, as a person that's been, you know, going to a doctor and you know, through 10 years found the right medications, I'm a better version of me when I have medication that I require in my system than when I don't have them. And, you know, that's not the answer for everybody, but I think the beginning of the answer for everybody is just not letting it pile up. I let stuff pile up till it almost took me down, in my mid to late 20s. Like, that's crazy, but it, here I am now, man, I'm better for it. And I just try to be outspoken. I try to take any chance I get to let people know that it's okay to be a little bit fucked up, right. Like that's admitting it was the hardest step for me,
Sure.
And ever since I admitted it, I'm like, yeah, man, I deal with this. Big deal. Don't care. Yeah. It doesn't bother me that I take, medication every morning. Why should it bother someone else that I do that?
Right. Yeah. Do you think that there's forever, I'm 51 and forever the stigma has been mental health equals crazy. And it's just not that way. It's definitely, if I took every friend, including myself, that's been pushed to the edge or had a gun and been ready to go, I think I'd have a longer list than the list of people that I would have that haven't been pushed there.
Right.
It doesn't mean craziness. It means just.
It's because of this, man. Mental health is the only disease you have to prove to somebody you have. It's the only one.
True.
Tell me one other disease you'd have to prove to somebody if you told them you were sick with it. Wouldn't.
That's true. Everything else you just say. Look, if you say you've got the flu, okay, do what you got to do. You say you got cancer, okay, do what you got to do. But then when you do get into and say, well, you're struggling with mental health type things, well, it's either suck it up, you can handle it, you got it, bro. There's all kinds of catchphrases to it, and none of it is helpful.
That's the thing, dude. Like, as a grown 35-year-old man, I'll sit here and tell you, I need help some days, and that is totally fine. There's nothing wrong with needing help. This machismo crap that came along, like, take that and throw it out the window. I don't care about that, And like I don't care if people don't think I'm tough. I really could care less, Being healthy means more to me than that.
Sure. Yeah, I didn't mean to take this way, but
that's good.
I wrote a book when I was going through my divorce, and in my divorce I got super super depressed and drinking a fifth of vodka every single day. I mean, just crazy, and it's weird that it almost takes telling it to realize how bad it is. I was going through it. I didn't realize at all. I just thought everybody got divorced and stayed drunk for 8 months and never was sober and, was thinking about killing himself and all this other stuff. It wasn't until I stepped away from it that I could look at it and say, wow, it's a good thing I didn't do something. It's a good thing I found some help and some friends and people to walk me through. Are you feeling the same way?
Well, dude, for me, it's like when I'm outspoken about stuff, it's also a reminder for me to practice what I'm preaching and do better on my own things. I'm saying, hey, it's cool to do this. It's okay to do this. And all the while, it reminds me of, hey, you need to check in with the doctor and let them know what's going on and everything like that.
Right. Definitely. Now with Human Condition, were you excising a lot of this stuff lyrically? Cause again, outsider looking in, I look at stuff like Live This Way or In Love With The Pain, Keep On Keeping On, Push Down and Turn. They all seem like they're coming from this place. Is that accurate?
Push Down and Turn, 100%. We all write songs together. But, for my input of the songs, I can tell you Push Down and Turn is 100% inward. And then In Love With The Pain is actually a couple of different songs that we ended up slamming together to create a song, which is kind of cool. And then Live This Way, I can understand where you would see that, but that one was actually, we wrote that about a very toxic relationship that was between a friend and his other half. And him and her they were toxic, man. And it was just like the outside looking in of that, of, life's too short to be miserable all the time,
Definitely. Now, Chris, one of the things you guys have done as well or better, I'll put you in, you know, you're going to like the praise. I'm going to put you in the Metallica category when it comes to doing covers, man. You guys do some of the best covers and you make them your own. You know, Can't You See cover, I'd rather listen to your version than the original. I got to say, I'm starting to feel that way with Don't Bring Me Down, too, man. Right. It's an interesting choice because you guys are not a keyboard band to go and cover ELO. But, you know, what had you go and pick that song? Is it just one you guys like? Or,
man, we listen to everything. But Jeff Lynn is like, he's one of those, like, you know, he's up there for all of us. Like, he's the sense of melody. Whether it was Traveling Wilburys or ELO or just a Jeff Lynn, like, dude, that Armchair Theater record is one of the most beautiful melodic records I've ever heard in my life. But we were throwing around some different songs and been throughout, I think, Edge of 17. And then somebody threw out something else and we were just kind of going through lists on a phone and I pulled up Don't Bring Me Down. And we all just kind of looked at each other and we were like, all right, yeah, let's do that one. It's just the way it starts, man, with that drum groove, you know? Mm-hmm. And our first thought was, well, instead of playing it, you know, with synthesizers and keyboards and everything, let's do it single notes and put an octave pedal on it and just make it sound like fuzzy as can be. And dude, it worked so well.
Nice. Was it kind of a first run through and you just knew it, or did you have to do it a couple times to find the arrangement?
No, dude, it's one of those songs where, like, it's only got, you know, essentially two parts to the entire song.
Right.
You've got a verse and then you've got the chorus.
Yeah.
You know, because the verse is like a just a couple chords, and then the chorus goes to a different couple of chords. So you have those two parts, and you kind of, what we did was we went in and we did a scratch version, and then John Fred would do his parts, and then we would build the song from there.
Very cool. Definitely. Now, one of the things that I guess I just sort of, when I was getting ready for the interview, I noticed, and it's shocking, really, is 20 years later, or roughly 20 years later, same four guys. Unheard of today. I mean, absolutely. There's bands out there with no original members out there touring.
Right.
Here you guys are with the same four guys. And that's, in the best of circumstances, that's not easy. You know,
I think through history, you've got us and ZZ Top. Yeah, and I've never had a lineup change.
And the difference between the two is ZZ Top made, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, which kind of can pacify a lot of headbutting. You know, what has it been with you?
We made hundreds of dollars. no, man. Dude, I think it all goes back to the fact that we were all friends. And as tight as we are as a band and as musical as we are together, we are even deeper friends than that.
Okay.
You know, like the friendship has always been before the band. We've always been family before the band. You know, we're just very fortunate that all four of us see eye to eye on the way to run our business. And we're all four equal members, man. You know, we've been four equal pieces. You know, you split a dollar up, you get four quarters of Blackstone Cherry.
Right.
Every dollar we've ever made, we split four ways. Everything we've ever done, we split four ways. It's the four of us, you know, and you take one away and it's not Blackstone Cherry anymore.
Right. So, and I'm certainly not hoping for this, but if there was an issue where somebody actually talked about walking away, would that immediately end the band, or would you guys maybe pull yourselves out of the band situation to work on the friendship first to see?
I think it would have to be circumstantial. You know, I think the only way that we could go play, you know, do any shows is Blackstone Cherry with one guy potentially not there would be if, you know, say I broke my arm and we had to get somebody to come play guitar while I sang, or God forbid Ben or John broke, you know, a limb, get someone to fill in. But as far as a full-time replacement, I would say, if one guy ever had to walk away for whatever reasons, the friendship would remain first and foremost.
Sure.
Because to me, you know, that's worth more than the band. And then secondly, I would say that would be it for Blackstone Cherry, man. I mean, you know, if God forbid anyone ever has to walk away, I would, you know, have to still be happy with the fact that, you know, over however many years it would be that we've done what we've done. I mean, who would have ever thought four kids from BFE, Kentucky,
right,
would have been around putting out records for the last 14 years now, you know, when there's been 150 bands come and go in that time frame that sold more records than we did, and they sold out tours, but now they're not even heard of anymore. I mean,
sure,
you know, and here we are, we're still chugging along, man, with the few and the furious is what I like to say, you know, with our fans, man. They're, you know, no matter how many of them are there every night, they're going to have a good time, and they're there for the right reasons.
Definitely. I've always equated you guys career-wise, not music-wise, but career-wise, to like the Black Crowes, because the Black Crowes, I mean, yeah, they had some initial hits, and you guys did too, but ultimately they became an album band. And I think in the end, that is what Blackstone Cherry is at its core, is the fans the albums. The fans are not just looking for, you know, White Trash Millionaire and then 10 other songs at a show. They know everything.
And that's what blows my mind. Like, I remember showing up, like, in Europe, man. We were in Italy somewhere, and it was on the Family Tree Cycle, and James Brown was not a single on that record at all. Mm-hmm. We show up, we're playing Italy, and we're doing James Brown, and the crowd starts doing the do-do-do-do-do.
Right.
That John Fred does, and they sing every word. Like, the crowds at our shows, like, the majority of the people there are the people there that have just heard, you know, Me and Mary Jane or White Trash or In My Blood, and they're like, oh, I want to go check out that band. But the majority of the people at our shows are people that have the records, and they know, you know, if we decide to play Devil's Queen one night, they know the words too. If we play Ghost of Floyd Collins, they know the words of that song.
Right. Nice. Definitely. Now, Chris, you obviously have the first single and video out there for Ringing in My Head. Talk a little bit about the video. The video is one of the most rocking performance videos I think you guys have ever shot.
Yeah, dude, man. And it was odd, because when we went down to do that video for Again, we had to shoot separately because of COVID restrictions.
Right.
Like, we've always tracked on our performances together, you know, even in music videos for the most part, but we had to go completely individually. And, you know, it was Nashville, and I had my wife and son with me, so I didn't get to stick around for the entire shoot, but I showed up and I got to see part of Ben's performance, a little bit of John's, and I left as John Fred was getting started. And we knew we wanted to do just kind of a raw, gritty performance video. But, dude, when we got the first cut back, we were like, holy crap, dude, this thing is incredible.
Right.
Like, it conveys the power and the grittiness of that song extremely well.
Definitely does, man. And now you're getting ready to, as you said at the beginning, your voice is a little roach because you've been working on a live stream video, which I got to think is sort of bittersweet for you. In one hand, it's fun to do a performance. In the other, I know for a fact from seeing you guys are road dogs. You are not guys to sit home. This has to be killing you, man.
You know, it's been incredible to have the family time, because I haven't had this much family time in the last 15 years consecutively.
Right.
Never have I been home for 8 months that I can remember. But, you know, when you start looking at it and you go, man, it's been 8 months since we played a concert, you start getting that itch. And for me, you know, we went and we had like a couple hour rehearsal one day, and then we went the next day and just we went over the couple of new songs we did. I'm not going to give them away,
sure,
but we went over the few new songs we did off the record one more time, and then it was time to change your clothes and play a show.
Right.
And when you do that for the first time in 8 months, man, you've got so much energy and nerves and anxiety, for me anyways. And, you know, how am I going to sing these songs? You know, I haven't sang these live yet. And, but dude, the minute we kicked into the first song, it was just like, I looked at John Fred and I said, dude, you ready? And he counted it off, and it was like a light clicked and we were going. at 150%, man. And I've been paying for it ever since. I am sore. Oh my God. We were all texting each other the next morning going, dude, I feel like I've been hit by a truck, but I wish to God we were on the bus rolling down the road to the next one.
Nice. What was it weird? And I'll use the example. I watched the Armored Saint did a live stream thing last weekend. Okay. And I watched it, and musically, I mean, it was in the pocket. I mean, they were dead on. In between songs, it was very weird. You know, right. when he was trying to figure out what to do as guitars are tuned or changed or whatever, he didn't know what to say. Was it the same for you when you were doing yours? Or?
Well, no, because we would just kind of like BS with each other back and forth, you know, while we were waiting on guitar change and stuff. And then, you know, everything will be cut and edited. Sure. You know, like if there was a longer gap because of a guitar thing, well, we don't want that. We want, you know, essentially we had to film this thing because there wasn't the ability to live stream it and have, you know, several cameras and full HD audio coming out, just because of the network error service, the network unservice, I should say, in the area we live in. And it's just not that great, man. And the venue, you know, availability was limited. So we did what we could. So we filmed the show, but this way I'm actually happy we did, because now we don't have to worry about people's internet providers, you know, ruining the experience for them. The show is 100% there when it goes up, and you've got, you know, your time to watch it over so many hours that weekend, you know, that way it's not like one time and done thing. You can watch it again, the best I remember.
Right, definitely. Now, with COVID, we have no idea what's going to happen. I know you guys have dates that are scheduled, and they may happen and they may not happen. And who knows? Nobody knows.
Right.
Do you worry at all that you've made this great release with Human Condition and it might become almost a lost record, because by the time they actually open things up, you know, you guys will be, I don't want to say over it, but you'll be ready to do the next batch of songs, or you'll have, I can't imagine as musicians, you guys aren't still sitting home writing songs.
I'm ready to write and record another record right now, you know, but that's just my personality. I could live in the studio 24/7, you know? Sure. But no, man, I mean, yeah, there is the, I hope we get to tour this record while people remember it thing.
Right.
But at the same time, I feel like we made a record that people aren't going to forget very easily. You know, I think people that take the time to listen to it are going to truly, truly, you know, take a hold of the record.
No question, man. I just have one question that has nothing to do with the new record at all, but it's one tune that I literally play this song 10 times a week, you know, and have for 4 years. I love the song, The Rambler, which that is without question, all your albums, it is by far your best lyrical work. And it is,
we didn't even write that one, man.
Who wrote that?
So that was, we did rewrite parts of it.
Okay.
But that was written by a band called the Zuni Mountain Boys. It was brought to us by someone else, and there's a whole thing around that. But come to find out, it was written originally by these guys who were credited in the reprinted versions of our record, because there was a very misunderstanding thing that went down. But that song was written by them, man, and we took it and kind of did our thing with it. You know, we originally thought it was written by someone else that showed it to us. I'm not going to name names or anything.
Sure.
But, you know, and we were like, do you mind if we rework this and, you know, cut it? And they were like, that would be amazing. We did. The record's coming out. We find out that. But, dude, it's such a beautiful song.
It is.
And, you know, we reworked it to make it fit us a little more. But, it's one of those songs we haven't played in a long time, but it's a beautiful song.
It is, man. I think anybody that's ever had any experience being away from somebody gets it. You know, it's definitely that tune that is instantly relatable to just about everybody at some point in their life. Man. So
100%. Thank you, sir.
Well, dude, where should people go online to keep up with Blackstone Cherry and get the human condition and all that good stuff?
Man, the official website is blackstonecherry.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. I'm on Instagram as well at CBRBSC. Always posting stuff, photography and stuff like that. But the band, man, you know, we've got all the major things, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Instagram and Facebook are probably the most active for news and stuff. But yeah, man, that's pretty much it. You know, we're fairly simple, you know.
Fairly simple, but you still kick ass, man. Well,
thank you, sir.
Chris, thanks so much for coming on to Aftershocks TV, sir. And thanks everybody for watching.
Yes, sir.